Good to be with you all this morning. If I'm not loud enough, keep turning me up till I am there, Spank. It's been a little better week this week, although I had a couple days I had to rest because my knee acted up on me for a couple days. So I've been sitting around the house for the last part of the week. So I had a little extra time to work on my message for this morning. The Lord gave me a message out of Matthew 5. The Sermon on the Mount, I've preached on it before, but never started at the beginning with the Beatitudes. We're going to be looking at the first Beatitude today, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I began reading one of the books that Bruce Callender gave the elders when he was here at his ordination. He gave us a set of books, and I hadn't read through them yet, and hadn't given them to any of the other guys to read through yet, but I started into one of them this week while I was home, and it's very, very, very good book on the Beatitudes and on the... And I think... The reason I'm spending so much time this morning on the first one is if we don't understand it, the rest of them don't make sense either. And so we're going to be looking at, we'll be in Matthew 5 pretty much today. I do have some other passages that go along with this, but we're going to start there today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, I love you. Thank you, Father, for your healing power. Father, it was just good to come around the table with you again this morning and just to realize the power that we have in you, and that you heal our bodies, Father, and you save our souls. And we thank you, Father, for all that. Father, that we come to you bankrupt. That we're nothing without you, Father, and I thank you that that's the way you wanted it, that that's the way it is, that we can depend on you, we can trust you for everything that we need. And so, Father, as we look at your word this morning, just reveal it to us. Speak through me, Father, and Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to use my testimony this morning to begin, and you've heard it so many times that I actually found another testimony that I'd like to share with you as we start this morning. And this one was I took it out of the book that I was reading. I forget the name of the book. I didn't write it down here. But this is Mike Vitrone. The testimony of Mike Vitrone, and said he was accustomed to luxury sports cars and beachside mansions during his years as a drug runner for the New York Mafia. A lifestyle that is now a distant memory, with judges, court clerks, and casino officers on the payroll. So I pranced through Atlantic City like the mayor, he says now. Yet Mike soon began a descent into heroin addiction that threatened his life. After a customer discovered that Mike had stolen some of his drugs, Mike packed a bag and fled to Florida. Menacing death threats followed him, intimidation that continued for months. I remained alone, he remembers, bound by my addiction, facing a dismal future. So I began thinking of suicide. I was now haunted by what was, in fact, a not altogether unpleasant idea of ending my misery with the click of a trigger. Mike says, my .22 caliber handgun, which was usually within arm's reach, held a fresh cartridge. After 2 years, the moment of reckoning had come. On an uncharacteristically overcast morning in South Florida, Mike dropped by a favorite haunt, Big Apple Bagel, to pick up what he assumed would be his last meal. Back in his apartment, he flipped on the television looking for company one last time as he ate. On came a television preacher. With a distinct southern accent, the man exclaimed, "Life has a way of grabbing you by the collar, forcing you down to your knees." Mike turned up the volume. "There's a chain that binds every soul," the preacher exclaimed, "and that chain is sin, an addiction from which Jesus' death and resurrection sets us free." Suddenly, as the television evangelist invited viewers to embrace Christ, Mike felt energy pulsing through his veins and found himself shouting at the television, "Yes! Yes!" In that moment, he no longer felt alone, but sensed an encircling presence. Mike was facing not the end of his life, but a new beginning. It says, "I met Mike in 1995 while serving as a pastoral intern in South Florida. For nearly 3 months, I shadowed him, learning that the addicted, downtrodden, and hopeless are the people who are poised to receive the blessing of God. The kingdom, I learned from Mike, is not for the graspers, but for the broken. Those who reach the end of themselves and approach God with empty hands. Such people recognize they are completely and utterly destitute in the realm of the Spirit." And that is the place that is talking about here in Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit are the spiritually bankrupt. When we get to the end of all that we have, all that we are, and all that we have left is Jesus Christ. When we realize that without Him we are nothing. And you've all heard my testimony, as why I was going to use it. I was at that place myself, as all of you know. And many of you were at that place when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, when you made Him Lord of your life. And let's go to Matthew. I haven't turned there yet, so I'm going to turn to Matthew 5 with you. As I said, this is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It says, when he saw the crowd, so that this was after Jesus had done some of his miracles, the crowds were following, and it says he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And you'll be able to go on and read the rest of the Beatitudes there. It's just from here on, you'll see if you've got red letter editions in your Bible, it's just Jesus is speaking for the next 3 or 4 chapters here. He's talking to his disciples, telling them a list of the many things that they need to know as they walk with Jesus Christ. But the poor in spirit. So, I've often thought that this was talking about the poor. Now, we can become poor in spirit through poverty. Yes, that's one of the ways that many people finally realize that they need Jesus Christ. Because of poverty. And I often thought that's what it was talking about here, but it's not. It's talking about becoming spiritually bankrupt, knowing that we are nothing without Him. But it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when I got to that place where I said, "Lord, if you'll spare my life, I'll serve you for the rest of my life," that's when I entered into the kingdom of heaven. That's when I began my journey in through the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, if you want to call it that. So as we become spiritually bankrupt, as we come to the end of our rope, as you might say. Then, when we give Christ control of our lives, that is when we enter into the kingdom of heaven. It says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So, this being poor in spirit is also an act of humility and walking in humility. So I want to look at some verses this morning that talk about humility, and then we're going to look at some others that talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So some of them are in Psalms or Proverbs. I mean, those of you who have been enjoying the book of Proverbs and Sunday school with us, it's been a very, very good learning time. And that's where some of these verses are from. And we just recently talked about the seven things that God detests or he doesn't like at all. And one of them is pride. So that's why we have to be humble as Christians and walk in humility, because Christ doesn't like pride. Proverbs 16:19 says, better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Another one, Proverbs 22:4, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. And Proverbs 19:23 says, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So unless we become like little children. And I love when Logan brings his offering up in the mornings. I think of that often when I see him do that. Unless we become like little children, it says we can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. We can't even enter. So we have to come with childlike faith. Just trusting God for everything. We have to give up ourselves and not realize that we are nothing without Him. Let's go to Matthew 18 just for a little bit here. See what's surrounding those verses, the verse that we talked about there. Matthew 18, verse 4. So this is, he's going through, Matthew 18 is talking about, it has the, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and they, so that's when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And that's why he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So just remember that God loves the little children and that we have to become like them. In Luke chapter 14, we're commanded here to walk in humility. And it says, but when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. And then in Luke 22:26, it says, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So there's a lot of scriptures, a lot of verses that talk about humility, that talk about walking in humility. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 for the final one here. Second, and this is Paul's example of walking in humility. 2 Corinthians 12. Seven to ten. To keep me from becoming conceited of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, in hardships and persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we realize that we're not going to be able to do it on our own, we have to depend on Him. We walk in humility, and we walk into being poor in spirit, knowing that without Him we're nothing. We are just who we are, but with Christ we can do whatever He needs us to do. So the kingdom of heaven is talking about, we're going to begin in Matthew 25 to look at this one. I've often thought that the kingdom of heaven was something that we're striving for, that we're going to gain when this life is over. But the kingdom of heaven is now. We're living in the kingdom of heaven, and we're working in it. Let's look at verses 34 through 36 of Matthew 25. And this is where he was separating the sheep and the goats. It says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And so you know this story well, because I've actually preached on this a time or two. But that's part of our service, isn't it? Taking care of God's kingdom here on earth. Being servants in His kingdom, walking with Him and doing what He asks us to do each day. There we go. So some verses that you can write down here that go along with the kingdom of heaven. Luke 9:62. Says Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I can say that I've not thought about looking back after I told the Father that I would serve Him when I was 19 years old. Yes. There's hard times, there's difficult times, But when he gets a hold of us, when he calls us to be his people, his children, then it's easy to walk. It's easier to walk because we have him to show us the way. He smooths out the path for us. He makes the path smooth. Smooths out the hills and fills in the valleys. In John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.'" So when we come to that day where we say yes, like the man in our testimony today, when we say yes to Jesus Christ and to walk in his ways, then we, as I said, we enter into the kingdom of heaven and begin to work in his kingdom. And in Daniel 2:49, it says, "It's coming with power. And the time those kings, the God of heaven, will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever." The kingdom of heaven will endure forever. So we start our walk into eternity the day that we accept Jesus Christ as Lord. It was pretty neat. I was doing my daily devotions this morning, and I've used this book often when I preached, but this is what the Lord showed me this morning as I was doing my daily devotions. It comes out of Psalms 25, 8 through 9. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way." Humility is a characteristic that is sorely lacking in our culture. Our society places such a high premium on individualism that it's not uncommon for people to go to great lengths to make a name for themselves. We're measured by how many people follow us on social media and how many likes we get on our postings. But gospel living calls for humility. Jesus said, "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus insisted that the humble will not only be exalted, but also will be taught and led by God. Psalms 25:9. He takes humility to be teachable, or it takes humility to be teachable. Sadly, some people are more interested in pursuing a platform than a godly character. As Christians, we are not called to make a name for ourselves. We're called to bring glory to the name of our God. So we're none of us making a name for ourselves as we walk with Christ, but to give glory to God. So as we close up today, as we end up, if any of you today have anything you need to pray, ask to pray with you about, why we'd love to have you come. If any of you would like to accept Jesus as Lord, you've not done that, well, we would love to help you through that as well. So as the musicians come for a final song, as we sing a final song together, if any of you have a need at all, love to pray with you. So we'll be here to pray with you. Remember that we have to become spiritually bankrupt before we can walk in the kingdom of God. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."